This is the Durham Museum Podcast, and I am your curator, Carrie Meyer. Museums exist to preserve the cultural identity of people and places. The objects in our possession all have stories, and sometimes those stories have many twists and turns. In this episode, the Durham Museum's collection facilitator, Hayden Nelson, explores the story of one of these artifacts, a painting known as Black Bess. From tracking down the artist's identity to a misidentification as a world-famous artwork to how it came to the museum, Black Bess's story involves many of the who's who of Omaha history and still has a bit of mystery yet to be solved. Welcome, everyone, to the Durham Museum Podcast. I am your curator, Carrie Meyer, and today we're going to learn about an artifact from the museum's collection that most of you have probably seen, but which you likely know very little about. It's a painting called Black Bess, and she currently presides over the bar in the hotels and saloons section of the Permanent Exhibitions Gallery. Here to tell her story is my guest, Hayden Nelson. Hayden started out at the Durham as an intern in our curatorial department, and one of her first assignments was in the Byron Reed Collection, pioneering a project for transcribing and digitizing the document collection. Since then, she's graduated from the University of Nebraska-Lincoln with a bachelor's in history and has also completed her master's in museum studies from the University of Oklahoma. She was first hired on staff part-time and is now full-time as a collection facilitator working with our historic object collection. Hayden, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Thanks, Carrie. It's great to be here.
So, Hayden, can you describe this artifact for our listeners? What is it and what does it look like?
Yeah. So Black Bess is a painting. She's an oil painting in a gilded frame, but she's pretty big. She's life size, so about 6 feet by 4 feet-ish. She has large dark eyes that are too big for her face, and she's nude.
Which I think is the first thing that everybody notices is,
yes.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. Yes. So the background is very, Turkish. There's a Turkish coffee pot on the side. There's drapes and floral pillows. She's reclining on her side. And then in one of her hands, there's a pink rose and a cream rose. And then she has her long black curls underneath her head. She's very Odalisque art inspired.
So what is odalisque?
Yeah, so that's a style of paintings that represent sort of like a harem woman or a prostitute.
Okay.
There are a few famous examples, but this isn't one of them.
Gotcha. So how did you first become aware of Black Bess or become interested in her?
Yeah, I think, like most people, I just saw her on display and was interested. She's very pretty, but again, she's not perfect either. Her eyes are too big for her face, and her fingers are kind of flat. But I think it's those imperfections that make her so fascinating. It makes you look harder to, notice all those details. Gotcha. And take it all in. And so I just wanted to learn more. There is an object label, and you can't really read the artist's signature and date from your position on the floor. But I figured out that all the things we thought we knew actually weren't true.
Yeah, we're going to get into that because that's the mystery.
Yeah.
So do you know why she was named Black Bess? I mean, is that one of the mysteries?
We actually don't have any documentation that, says this here painting is Black Bess. But Black Bess was a term for a turn of the century prostitute. And again, she has long black hair. So that could be part of it as well.
Gotcha. Okay. So I do want to get into a little bit more about the painting. You mentioned the artist's signature. Who did paint Black Bess? Do we know anything about this person?
Yeah. So we know a little bit. In the lower left-hand corner, the signature is J.K. O'Neill, 1900. And J.K. O'Neill stands for James Knox O'Neill. He was an artist who came from Ohio with his family and settled here in Omaha. and he struggled to make ends meet with his family. And so he took on lots of different jobs.
What else do you know about James O'Neill? What else did he do in Omaha?
He has several other works that can be found in Nebraska museums.
Other paintings.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Some are at the Sheldon, some are at the Joslin. A couple can be found at UNO. One of his paintings, Christ in Gethsemane, was supposedly given to the original Mr. Heafy of Heafy Mortuaries in exchange for payment for a burial. Wow. And that painting was actually lost when the mortuary had their fire several decades ago. I'm not sure when that happened. But, okay. But you'll find that with this tale and all the people involved, there's a lot of rumor. There's a lot of legend.
Okay. Well, and that works right into what I was going to ask next, because there is a legend surrounding Black Bess.
Yes.
Can you talk a little bit about what that legend is and what she was thought to be?
Yeah. So the story always was that she was also named Trilby, and that she was on display at the Trans-Mississippi Expo. But that's just not possible, considering the expo was in 1898 and the painting is dated 1900.
That would be time travel. So that
just doesn't work. So I wanted to find out, okay, then if she wasn't at the Transmiss, then where was she?
So if she was thought to be a Trilby, there is this painting called Trilby that was supposed to be at the Transmiss. So was there a correlation between the two?
Yes. So Trilby actually was a real painting based on the literary work Trilby. She was another nude painting, but she was done by an artist named Cooper. And we know that she was on display at the expo. She actually had her own Trilby temple where people could pay admission to go see her. Apparently, it was an amazingly lifelike nude painting.
Okay.
And, you know, she drew a lot of notoriety that way. And there's only one image of Trilby, sort of. There's an image by Reinhardt from the expo of the Trilby temple interior, and the space where the Trilby frame would be is just an empty white box.
Perfect.
Yes. Since we didn't pay for it, we don't get to see it. And at the end of the expo, Trilby actually went missing. So we actually don't know where she is. And that may be why some people were so excited to associate Trilby with Black Bess. You know, it's like solving that mystery.
So besides the artist, which is pretty definitive for who painted which painting, what are the other differences? Why would Black Bess have been associated with Trilby?
Yes. So Black Bess and Trilby do share a few similarities. They're both nude paintings. They both have roses, although according to some descriptions, Trilby is kind of covering herself with the roses, and Black Bess is totally not covering herself with the roses. And other than that, I think that they would be pretty different with a side-by-side comparison. Okay. Trilby is supposed to be standing modeling in an artist studio, and Bess is reclining. The story of Trilby focuses a lot on her feet. So her bare feet were a huge thing. And in the Black Bess painting, the focus really isn't on her feet at all. So
gotcha. We can just leave that one right there. let our listeners infer. Has anyone else, so beyond the artist when he painted this in 1900, where it happened to Black Bess? Was she owned by anyone else? You'd mentioned there were other people in her story that related to early Omaha. Can you tell us just a little bit about her provenance and who all owned her?
Yeah. So after she was painted, we actually don't know what happened. And that's really my holy grail mission right now, is definitely, like, who was her first owner? Did someone commission her? Where did she go first? There's a rumor that, you know, she may have been in a saloon owned by a man named Tom Foley. And he was a saloon owner in old Omaha. The artist's daughter actually said that Tom Foley did buy a lot of paintings of her father's, but whether or not one was Bess, we don't know. She may have been in a brothel somewhere. There's a newspaper article regarding Bess and her history, and it cites a retired police captain who was a messenger boy in his youth, tells of cooling his heels in the establishment, call it a house or a home, where Bess once lived. And I have inferred that that retired police captain refers to Johnny Dynamo Dennison. He was a lieutenant and then police captain in Omaha. After he retired, he was kind of an authority on old Omaha and would sometimes write into the paper and give his two cents on, you know, how things used to be. And he was a telegram delivery boy in 1904 to 1905. So it's possible that that is where that tidbit came from. So I think he's a reliable source. But regardless, we don't know which of the hundreds of brothels he's referring to.
Yeah, Omaha was a pretty, yeah. I mean, there's that book, Dirty yes. Wicked Town. I mean, it's, yes, there's a lot of stories about the seediness of Omaha at the time.
Mm-hmm. But however she got there, she came to be in the home of an attorney in Council Bluffs named George Spencer Wright. And George Wright was described as a social lion in his day. He would throw massive parties in his mansion. And it was located just off of Bayless Park in Council Bluffs, where the Masonic Temple is now. That's where his mansion used to be. He had a huge tulip garden, and I guess that was one of the heralds of spring in Council Bluffs, was his tulip garden. And he once gave a tour of his home to an Omaha World Herald reporter, and, you know, explaining why at 60 he was still a bachelor. And one of his pieces of evidence was that his house was full of nude paintings and that any wife he brought in probably wouldn't be too pleased with that. So he sounds like a character. And he actually makes reference to, in that article, a painting that the reporter describes as a girl in September Morn attire. And that's a reference to a painting called September Morn, which is just a nude woman bathing in a river.
Well, okay.
So they couldn't, you know, as opposed to saying, you know, there's a lot of naked lady paintings in this house. You know, they use that euphemism to put it in that artistic category. And he makes, you know, mention to a collection of nude paintings that he received from an Omaha woman. And they had cost her $15,000. And she'd brought an artist from the East to do them. And it was a set of three. And it's possible that one of these is a reference to Black Bess and maybe a couple sisters, only because we know she was in his house. And technically, Ohio is from the East. And I think it's referred to from the East sometimes, but okay. It's not super East. So anyway, when George Wright died, there actually is a picture in the Nonpareil of his estate sale in his house. And there's a black and white grainy image of our Black Bess getting a sold tag put on her. And another wide Omaha connection. So the antique dealer who is selling the painting in the picture, his name is Lewis Drew, of the Drew's Antiques fame.
Okay.
and his full name was actually Louis Bostwick Drew, because Louis Bostwick, the photographer, was really close friends with the Drew family, and so they named their son after him.
Wow.
so there's another connection to our wider museum collection.
Absolutely. The Louis Bostwick collection. And so this would be the first definitive proof we have of Bess somewhere in her provenance. Everything else is like
hearsay
and piecing things together, but this is the very first photographic evidence of where she was and what happened to her.
Yes.
Okay. Great.
And then after that, she was, some sources say she was given to her next owner, but then, you know, we have the newspaper article saying sold for $65. So, and that picture in the Nonpareil, it actually says that she was hung in a bathroom with 20 other paintings.
Oh, and it's a big bathroom.
Yeah, since she's 6 feet long, yeah.
Or a very crowded bathroom.
Yeah, a very crowded bathroom. And she was sold for $65.
And this was the owner after?
No, this is George's bathroom.
So she hung in George's bathroom.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Now I know why he thought maybe he couldn't get married.
Yes. So I'm sure it was an adventure to go through his things after he died. So regardless of whether she was given or sold, the next owner that we know of is a man by the name of Miles Standish. And yes, he's a descendant of the colonial Miles Standish.
that was actually the first thought in my brain, honestly.
Yes.
Well, was that Miles Standish?
Yes. And he had some business interests in Omaha, but not a ton is known about him, or at least his quirks anyway. His second wife had a son. And he came to Omaha, the son, came to Omaha to attend the University of Omaha through Operation Bootstrap.
What was Operation Bootstrap?
That was a program that allowed members of the military to go to the university. So her son was named Robert Warren Tate. He was a lieutenant colonel. And so he came to Omaha with his wife, and his mother decided to set up an apartment for them to live in. And so she took this giant painting out of storage and put it up in their apartment.
Oh, I'm sure they were happy.
Yes. And I think they were only there for around a year. And then Robert Tate actually went to Korea. And so they were moving out. And a woman named Elizabeth Flynn gets a phone call and learns that she is getting the hot potato. That is Black Bess. And she's not connected by family that I'm aware of, but her family recently vacated the apartment that the Tates moved into. So she was then saddled with the life-size nude. And that's how we have a lot of our documentation, because Elizabeth Flynn was a reporter for the Omaha World Herald. And so she used that to write several features about her new house guest and received lots of community communication and tips as far as what they remembered about her. So one of these was the retired police captain. She also received a couple notes from people who remembered Black Bess at the Wright House. And one reported that he transported the picture to the storage vault where it stayed for a decade or so. Another remembers the painting as being called Black Emma. I couldn't find anything else about that. But Elizabeth Flynn did all the research that she could and received lots of offers to adopt the painting. But she wanted Black Bess to go to a place of respect where she wouldn't, be leered at or, made fun of. And so in 1964, Elizabeth Flynn and her husband donated the painting to the Joslin
Art Museum. Mm-hmm. So how did it come to be at the Durham then?
Yeah. So then about 30 years later, in 1984, the Joslin transferred it to the Durham. And then we put it on permanent display.
Okay. Sounds good. And recently, I mean, it's been hanging up in the permanent exhibits for quite a number of years. And recently you were part of the team that took Black Bess off the wall to examine it. What were you looking for? What were you hoping to find by looking at the back, per se? Kind of talk about what all happened there.
Yeah. So we took the painting down to examine the back of the painting. You can tell a lot about the age, the provenance, the condition of a painting by looking at the back and looking at the frame. So we removed the paper dust cover that had been glued on to the outer frame. And we found nothing.
Hooray!
I know. It was interesting. She is actually framed within a larger frame, and then the larger frame has plexiglass, so there is actually, that outer protection, but then there's still an inch of air between the plexi and the oil of the canvas, since oil paintings shouldn't, touch a glass or plexiglass surface for preservation purposes. So it was easy to tell that the canvas was old. The original interior frame was old. There was lint and dust and things. But there was no, I lived at Anna Wilson's brothel from, 1901 to, whatever. Nothing like that, unfortunately. It was clean and in stable condition, and so everything looked good there.
Oh, great. So what questions do we still have about Black Bess? You had mentioned the one owner, but are there other things we need to know or want to know about Black Bess?
I guess the biggest mystery is, who was her Omaha owner before George Wright? Was she at a brothel? Was she at a saloon? Did she move around a lot? It's possible that, she was painted from a live model, but it's also possible that she wasn't. If she was, what happened to that woman? So just those things that are really hard to verify without actually having been there in turn of the century Omaha.
Where you wish you had a time machine,
yes.
Right? Just go back in time.
Yes.
So what was your favorite part of this whole research process? What were some of the lessons that you took away and what did you most enjoy about it?
I learned a lot about how to examine artwork. Determining if it's actually old or not. But I think the most exciting part is just that you always find a new tidbit no matter where you look. I was in the newspaper archives all the time using, city directories. And, even if I don't find, where she lived for the first 10 years of her painting life, you still find out something new. But I think the most impressive part about this whole research process is just how human it makes everything feel. Each one of her owners was such a unique individual onto themselves. Just getting to know each one as I'm trying to find out, where the painting went next, I kind of feel like I know each one of them a little bit. And it just kind of shows how an object can cross centuries and bring us together.
Yeah. Is there one of her owners that you would want to sit down and have coffee with or not that much of a fan of any of them?
I definitely think that Mr. Wright would be a hoot. but I also think that Elizabeth Flynn would have been a really neat lady. You know, I can't ask any of these individuals any questions anymore. They've all passed away, but I think that she was a really impressive lady.
And so what do you think is so important about what this whole research project and devoting the time and resources to Black Bess? Why is this an important artifact to do this for, and why is this important to have at the museum?
Black Bess kind of represents, well, the real side, the everyday person side of Old Omaha. You know, her artist was not rich and was not famous. Her, you know, subsequent owners were, for the most part, everyday people that, you know, just were in the military, just, you know, worked everyday jobs. And it's an object that has undeniably strong Omaha ties.
Well, Hayden, this has been fascinating. Thank you so much for coming in on the show today and sharing your insights on the history of Black Bess. We'll look forward to what your further research uncovers, and maybe we'll have a Mystery of Black Bess Part 2 when you find the holy grail of ownership. And thank you as well to all our listeners for joining us today. I'm your curator, Carrie Meyer, and I'll look forward to sharing more Omaha history with you next time on the Durham Museum Podcast.
The Durham Museum is located at 801 South 10th Street in Omaha, Nebraska. Visit us online at durhammuseum.org.
A Parkville Media production.